Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Turn the Page podcast from Syosset Public Library, and we are very excited to have our guest here today. Please introduce yourself and tell us about your book.
Hi. Okay. So my name is Nikesa Fia. I'm a Canadian millennial who really likes to pet dogs. And I wrote Dead Dog Girls, which is a Prohibition era mystery that takes place in Harlem. And it's about a tiny, tired lesbian who is extorted into solving crime.
That's a really like short but accurate description of Dead Dead Girls. I was like, whoa, okay, yes, it's all those things.
Yeah, so for like International Lesbian Visibility Day or whatever last year, I tweeted, like, oh, if you want a tiny, tired lesbian who has to self-proud, check out my book. And it's the only way anyone has ever described my book going forward. So I've decided to embrace it.
I think that is amazing, and that is how I am going to describe this book. I had like a whole bunch of other thoughts in my mind, and I'm just like, yeah, no, you pretty much summed it up in the perfect way. So well, first of all, so Dead Dead Girls, it's billed as a Harlem Renaissance mystery. One might think that it's a cozy, but it is definitely not a cozy. And it is just a really great story. So the main character, Louise, you find, this is not a spoiler, you find out very early that she herself was the victim of a kidnapping crime when she was younger, and she bravely rescued herself and others involved and decided that, you know, she wasn't going to be a victim. And she's been known as Harlem's hero. People look at her with reverence when they find out who she is, but she's also like, you know, she's like living her best life, going to speakeasies, living with her love interest, sort of, but not exactly, because they're both in like a communal housing situation. Yeah. And working at a cafe, but she can't, the Harlem's hero moniker, she cannot shake it. And it is very much ingrained in who she is, even though sometimes it seems like she's trying to get away from it.
Yeah, so that was something I was really focused on. So I wanted to have something in her background that would like lead her to like want to like help these girls, even though she's not a police officer. But she's seen it firsthand. She has seen like police brutality like firsthand. And I do try to note that like people are like disappointed with who she is because they had such high expectations of her, and then she just turned out to be a normal 26-year-old human being who likes to go dancing and kiss her girlfriend.
Like, how dare she actually dare she want to enjoy her life?
Like, I feel like people do put a lot on her just because like that was who she was, but she's trying to be like, actually, this is who I am now. I just want to find.
I think that a lot of people can relate to that. I think, you know, there's always expectations put on us, especially if something happens at a very early age. And it's almost like you're not supposed to enjoy yourself and get into, you know, whatever's going on in your, you know, in the world, like, for fun. I liked that. I thought she was really cool. I loved her devotion to her family and her sisters. She has kind of like a really tender relationship with family because her father was like very, you know, structured in what he saw for her. Mm-hmm. And her younger sisters are still living in that lifestyle.
Yeah. And she's like raised them because, well, her mom, this is also not really a spoiler, but her mom died in childbirth. So like bringing these twins into the world. So now she's like, she's the oldest girl, Lucy, oldest girl. So now she has her these two sisters to raise, basically. And also there's another sister between them who is a little bit older than the twins, and she basically had to raise all three of her sisters.
That's definitely a thing for older children, and her father being so traditional, you know, she's the older sister. It's like she's almost put into that default mother stage. Plus the fact that she's Harlem's hero, it's a lot. So she's thrown into a whole bunch of things. She's living her life. She's dancing. She's working at a cafe. She's living on her own. She's a lesbian in the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah, which is not a great time to be a lesbian, generally speaking. As not only was homosexuality just looked down upon, it was also illegal. She could have been put in jail or like an asylum or anything really because of her attraction to other women.
You know what? It was like until way recently that it was still considered a mental illness. So like you said, she's extorted into almost being like an amateur sleuth, which I think is where some of the confusion comes in, that this is a cozy, which it is definitely not. because she, you know, she sees a young Black woman being mistreated by a cop, and she steps in. And unfortunately, there are other young Black women who are being murdered around her.
Yeah.
And one of the cops decides that he's going to say to her, either you go to jail and we'll make an example of you for basically protecting somebody from something that was happening from another cop, or, you know, you can be Harlem's hero again and help figure out who's killing these girls.
Yeah, and she's obviously not going to go to jail. Like, in that instance, like, she's going to be like, fine, I'll be your home's hero again.
But your book would be over.
It would be. She's like, oh, time to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, she really had no choice, and I wanted to make it, like, really clear that she had no choice. And like the cops are having trouble, and not gonna lie, they're a little bit lazy because it's just teenage Black girls. Who cares? It's the 1920s. Black women are the lowest of the lowest. And Lou's like, but this is wrong. And these girls are being killed. And should we not be doing something about that? And so her assaulting this officer leads to this ultimatum, and she takes a case, and it's a whole thing. And she's not good at solving crime, but she does it anyway.
She's definitely, you know, one of the things that they're using her for is the fact that her community does not trust them at all. And they know that they will trust her not only as a Black woman in the community, but also as Harlem's hero. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I mean, she's really doing their work and putting herself and her own connection to her community on the line for them.
Yeah, she is. And like, she's only doing it to protect like the other girls. She sees her sisters who are the same age as the girls who are going missing and ending up dead in them. And like, she realizes that like, if like one thing in her life went wrong, she'd be like, dead at 16, or like work in a club that prostitutes them out to older men who are very skeevy. So she really sees that like it's her job to take care of them, even if she doesn't really want that. It's what she's there for.
So how did you go about researching the time period? I'm so excited to see this book because there's not a lot of fiction books during this time period. And I think it's, you know, or when you do, it's not in Harlem. I mean,
no. It's
about
rich people.
White people. Yeah, not in Harlem at all. And during the Harlem Renaissance, which is, you know, like, it's a time that is just, it's like, it's just there for the picking for people to write about. And people aren't writing about it so much in fiction.
Yeah. So my research was, so I actually started this novel in 2017, and it was my National Novel Writing Month project. And I was in my senior year of university.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You, Eugene NaNoWriMo.
I did.
We do NaNoWriMo programming at the library.
Oh, that's so great.
Maybe we'll have you as a guest of honor at some
point. Yes! It's like it changed so much. Like Lou's name was like Lola or Layla, and I kept like changing names. And she was an agent at like this CIA type place, but it wasn't called the CIA. It was wild. So I edited it a lot. But I was in this history class called Sex and the City, and we were talking about like the 1920s, and we were also talking about like Jack the Ripper and the 1800s, which is the case that I based the case Indented Girls on. And it's a lot of we have a great research library here in Toronto where I spent a lot of time in the stacks reading about how prohibition was supposed to work and then didn't work because it was a bad idea in the first place, reading about like the resurgence of the KKK, reading about just everything, like what Lou would wear, what she would eat, she doesn't eat, what she would smoke, what she would, what type of coffee she would drink, like every tiny minute detail. I really also got into old timey murders and I got into poisons, which is completely normal for a crime writer, I think.
Honestly, we've spoken to a lot of writers and I can tell you it is 100% normal.
Yeah, I bought this whole book about poison in the 20th century, like exactly how like what I need to like murder someone and like what I wanted for the effects. It's so good. I love that book.
When we had an in-person NaNoWriMo program, there was a whole conversation about like the FBI flagging people's NaNoWriMo research.
Listen, I'm Canadian and I'm still really scared about that because I feel like they know what I'm looking up. But my brother has a medical degree as well. So if I need help, I could just ask him and he already thinks I'm weird. So it's fine. It's totally fine.
Yes, no, it absolutely is fine. I mean, to be honest, like how else would authors, you know, like other than going around poisoning people?
Yeah, like I don't actually want to kill someone.
Good to know. So Lou is awesome. Did you base her and her friends on anybody specific?
Well, I always think that Lou specifically, like, came into my mind fully formed. My mom is one of my, like, beta readers, so she loves giving her thoughts to my mom, but she thinks that Lou is me exactly. That's not true. Lou is cooler than I am in every way possible. Thank you. But I did, like, try to, like, base her and, like, Rosa Maria and, like, especially the other women in this book. Like the complicated woman I know, like my mom and my sister and all of my friends, because we're not just one thing. And it's nice to have like a dynamic character. So she like loves her friends and loves her sisters and loves her girlfriend, and she loves to dance, but that's it. She doesn't like anything else. And like approaching the story from like that perspective was really fun. And I gave her a girlfriend because I really wanted her to be gay. And Raphael and Rosemaria are two of my favorite characters, I think. Raphael is everybody's favorite character, actually.
He's great. I really like him. Yeah, he's pretty great.
I did name him after my favorite hot ADA from Law & Order SVU, ADA Raphael Barba. Nice. Love him. But there's no one specific that I based any of the characters off of, really. They're just, like, products of, like, what I needed and, like of the time.
So, without giving too much away, because it says on Goodreads that this is book one, are we going to see Lou again?
We're definitely going to see Lou again. I've been working really hard on the sequel, which takes place about 10 or so months after the first book. And there is a different crime and Lou has to solve it. And she does not want to solve it, but someone she loves, like, their fate is like balanced on like her solving this crime. So it's important to her that she solves it. And there's so many characters who I really like, and it's great.
Awesome. I cannot wait to read more of it. What are you reading? What do you enjoy reading for fun?
Oh my God. I've been tabling all my reads on my little phone, on my little notebook, on my little notepad app. Because I'm trying not to go on Goodreads. If I go on Goodreads, I'll just check my reviews. So I'm lucky to be part of the best debut group, the Berkeley authors this year. And I can say that The Other Me by Sarah Zerich Jang, which I'm definitely saying wrong, sorry, Sarah, is coming out, and it is so twisty and it's so good, and I like stayed up reading it. Love Lifts and Fancy Ships by Sarah Grunderies doesn't come out till like November, I think, but it was so good. I read it in a weekend, and it takes place in Florida on a yacht, and I was reading it on a weekend where it was snowing, and I was like, I want to be on a yacht too. I'm going to read this book. Also, At Summer's End by Courtney Ellis comes out in a couple months. That was really good. It's another Prohibition era set novel. And yeah, there is some, I've been reading like all the Berkeley books. I'm reading My Sweet Girl right now by Amanda Jayateza. Sorry, Amanda,
I just got an ARC of that, and I am dying to pick it up.
It is so good so far. I'm like chapter 8, and it's been so hard for me to like stop reading to do other things. I was like, I just want to keep going. And she has, by the way, the two cutest dogs in the world. They're named Charlie and Hector, and I love them.
Awesome. Well, this is really, really cool. I'm really excited to hear more from you. I think people are really going to enjoy Dead Dead Girls. I actually heard about this book during another interview. So I was actually interviewing Erica Ruth Neubauer, who writes the Jane Wunderly mysteries. And she's the first person who put this on my radar.
Thank you so much, Erica.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. And, you know, when we were talking about what book she was reading, she's like, oh, Dead Dead Girls. And as soon as it came across my my email that there was an ARC and I could reach out for an interview, I was like, well, I'm doing that because I wanted to read it the minute Erica told me about it. So everybody read Dead Dead Girls. Nikesa is a NaNoWriMo person. So all of you NaNoWriMo listeners, National Novel Writers Month, this is your time, NaNoWriMos.
It's been, I'm incredibly grateful to the program because without it, I would never have written this book and I wouldn't be here without it. So yeah,
absolutely. Thanks again. This was Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. Our guest was
Nikesa Afia. Please buy Dead Dead Girls.
Please do. And we are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.